أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. سعيد صلوات بليز.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Says to his daughter, O Fatima, every eye shall tear, every eye shall weep in the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, except the eye that is crying and is tearing in the atrocities and the musibat of Hussein ibn Ali. For that eye shall be given glad tidings of heaven. As I mentioned yesterday, that the majalises of Hussein ibn Ali are not something to be taken lightly. For these are those days, and this is that institution which teaches me and you to stand steadfast against any oppression whatsoever on this earth. For it was Hussein ibn Ali who with his family gave his life away just to stand against the tyrant Yazid and save Islam. The teachings that the Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhim Ajma'een and the Holy Prophet have given us are not mere showpieces to be kept on the libraries, nor for us to come and listen to them for the first or the 12 days of Muharram or in the month of Ramadan. But the sayings and the teachings of these infallible, honorable people are so that we should derive some kind of teaching from them and apply them in our daily lives. Being Muslims, and especially the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, we naturally believe in the Holy Quran as the book revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the messenger and then onwards which has come to us. And Allah has said it in the Holy Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Verily, indeed, we have revealed this book to you and the dhikr to you, and we are the protectors of this. Therefore, He is in no need of anybody. Allah is in no need of anybody to keep the Quran intact. For that is going to be intact from the day it was revealed to the day of judgment. Quran is the book that we believe in. Therefore, it is only fair that we as Muslims should derive the teachings from the Holy Quran. For Quran is not just to be kept in the cupboards, and it is not just to be hanged in the cars so that the cars are safely driven. Or Quran is not just to be recited when there is a dead body lying down in the mosque somewhere. Or Quran is not something to be worn on the chest so that one should be saved from atrocities and calamities and problems. But as in Surah Baqarah, Allah says, La rayba fihi hudan lil muttaqin. There is no doubt that this Holy Quran is the guide to the muttaqin. Now this is something very interesting, because He didn't say guide to the Muslimin, neither did He say guide to the people. He just said guidance to the muttaqin. And of course the Quran is the guidance to the entire universe, to the entire world. But this word of muttaqin makes me wonder, at least, that why didn't He use the word Muslimin, for example? The reason being that Muslim, to become a Muslim is one thing, to become a Muttaqi is another. A person may become a Muslim by saying La ilaha illallah. That means he has submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to be a Muttaqi means that he refrains from all those things that Allah has made haram, and he does all those things which Allah has made wajib upon him. That is the definition of a muttaqi. A muttaqi would not mean a person who is sitting in the musalla 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just taking out a tasbih of Ya Quddus, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, and that's it. No. Even to go and earn a living is a worship. But a living which has got, which is in the framework of Sharia. Thus he said, Hudan lil muttaqin. Now, as far as we are concerned, we have all declared La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We have declared the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have declared and accepted the Prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have accepted the imamat and the wilayat of Amirul Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi. But still, there is a question mark in our heads. Are we Muslims or Muttaqeen? Is the Quran a guidance for us or just for the people who refrain from haram and who do the good deeds? This is a question that one has to answer, ask oneself. It is not up to the pulpit to decide this. It is not up to anybody to decide this. It is up to an individual to decide this. Just as I said yesterday, that the best exhorter is from within. If I want to change myself, I will have to work on it myself. If I do not react to good preaching, then the Prophet says, and Allah says to the Prophet, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is equal, O Rasulullah, whether you warn them or you don't warn them, they will not believe. Even the Prophet has been said that already. Therefore, it is up to the individual to decide whether the Quran is a guidance which I should accept or it is not. Therefore, the examples that are in the Holy Quran are the most befitting examples that one should apply in our lives. Plus, we take the example of Janab Ibrahim, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we study his life from the Holy Quran, we find that Ibrahim was a human who had a great respect and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was his slave after all. But human responsiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at its peak. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling Ibrahim, calling him as a friend. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. That Allah took Ibrahim as a friend. And it is not easy for Allah to call someone a friend. I mean, we are all slaves, insignificant slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah says he's a friend, that means that man has a value of some kind. And when a friend is a friend, then this friend can do anything for that friend. For that is called friendship. And we all know that the way Ibrahim and Allah's relation was of love, mutual respect, friendship, although Ibrahim was a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that. We find that Ibrahim once was passing by somewhere and he saw someone digging the grave. So he stopped by and said, whose grave are you digging? So the person said, I'm digging your grave. Your grave. So Ibrahim looked at him and said, do you know who you're talking to? I am Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am the friend of Allah. You are telling me you are digging his grave? And he understood that this was an angel sent by Allah. So he said, yes, I was commanded to come and dig a grave for you and I am doing this. So Ibrahim poses a question to this angel. He says, listen to me, brother. Tell me one thing. Have you seen a friend killing a friend? So the angel was, of course, the angel. So he straight away depended on Allah for the answer. And Allah told him, ask Ibrahim, have you seen a friend refusing to come to a friend? That was the relationship between Ibrahim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. So we find by the study of Ibrahim from the Holy Quran that human responsiveness to God was in its peak, was in its excellence. We also find that the tawakkul of Ibrahim on Allah was second to none. For one, when he was catapulted to the fire, and we all know this, I don't want to repeat this, inshallah in my coming lectures I still have to talk about the story of Ibrahim to connect it with Hussein ibn Ali. So we find that when he was on the air going to fall on the fire, Jibrail comes up to him and says, Ya Ibrahim, do you need help? And he says, yes I do, but not from you. Bala walakin minka fala. Yes, I do need help, but not from you. From who then? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For he is the one who has created me. He is the one who has put me in this problem. He is the one who will remove me from this problem. And what happened? Allah told the fire, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, become cold. And not only become cold, that he should get hyperthermia, but become peaceful and safe on Ibrahim as well. That was the extent of Ibrahim and Allah's relation. After so much trials and tribulations and problems that he faced with his people, as normal prophets faced, he asked for a son. Ibrahim asked for a son. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a mild-tempered son, Ismail. After a long time, a son is born to Ibrahim. Today, we find when couples get married and when they don't have children, at least I have seen a couple who cry tears of blood for children. They go to any extent to get a child. That is what Ibrahim did. He prayed to Allah and Allah granted him a son. Now when we study the life of Ismail, we find that Ismail, because Ibrahim got him after a very long time, he was kept in a very close proximity to Ibrahim. Very close. I.e. whatever ideologies Ibrahim had, he fed it to his child Ismail. Whatever faith in Allah Ibrahim had, he fed it to Ismail. Whatever tawakkul to Allah Ibrahim had, he fed it to Ismail because of their close relationship. Nothing else. Because Ibrahim chose to educate Ismail the way he was educated, the way he had faith in Allah, he chose the same for Ismail. And we will come to see what happened. But just a little deviation here. Ibrahim, although Ismail was his son, never gave Ismail an abused freedom. Never gave him a twisted freedom. Rather, he gave him respect. He talked to him in a humble, respectful, loving manner. He did not dictate things on him. Unlike the fathers of today, when we find that they dictate to their children as to this is what you're doing and this is what you're not doing without reasoning. Some of the children depend on the parents. Some of the children fight and long for the time of the parents. They do not give. As an incident took place, a boy and his father, he always kept late at night. He didn't sleep. I mean, the boy was not sleeping for 3-4 nights continuous. And one day he decided to wait for his father. He said, "Today I'm deciding to wait for my father." The mother said, "You know, your father is, his fuses are made of Taiwan. They'll go burst." He said, "I don't care. Today I'm waiting for my dad." Okay. The father comes home. He sees the son is awake. And he says, "Why are you awake? You should be in bed. Tomorrow you have to go to school and what not." He said to his son. The son, disappointed, went back to sleep. The next day again, the same thing happened. The third day, the father decided, "Let me hear him out." After 3 days, said, "Yes, what do you want?" He said, "Father, can I have 100 pounds, please?" So the father says, "Is this why you've been awake for all this time, to just ask for 100 pounds? You should have told your mother. She would have called me in the office. I would have said, yeah, give it to him and that's it, finished. The story is khalas, finished. Why did you have to wait for me?" He said, "No, I just need 100 pounds. So the father said, "Okay, in order for you and me not to have an argument, here, 100 pounds, keep it." Now, this is the lesson which we ought to learn. The son says to the father, "Father, tell me, how much are you paid or how much do you earn an hour?" So the father said, "Well, as we are in a good term now, we are talking terms, here, I earn 80 pounds an hour. That's the amount I earn." So the son says to the father, "Right, father. Here, 100 pounds. I am paying you 100 pounds for an hour of your time. Be with me, guide me, talk to me, play with me, joke with me, and guide me. This is what is required." Instead of neglecting the children, instead of giving them the freedom that they feel that whatever they will do, is blind affection for the child. And then suddenly one day when it is too late, we realize that our children are lost. And they go to the Maulana, "Can you please give us ta'weez? Because my child is now become naughty. Or my child is not listening to me." Whereas the example lies in the Holy Quran. If it was a guidance for the muttaqeen, we should have taken it and we're supposed to take it. And to keep our children the way Ibrahim brought up Ismail. And we argue that no, this is the Prophet's family. This family is a Prophet's family, brother. You cannot compare this family with our lives here. For they were ma'sumeen. In fact, they were more in trouble than we are now. And we will come to it. If they are ma'sumin, then what about the son of Hur? And what about Hur? For in one night only, they changed places. They switched from hell to heaven immediately. What made them do that? As I said yesterday, that in any discussion, in any thinking and concept, you need the combination of intellect and emotion to transform yourself into something that you want to be. Yet we see that the child is confused. The child is confused. Why is he confused? One day he breaks a vase at home. So the father says, "Who broke this vase?" And the son says, "I did." "Oh, he is beaten." The second day he breaks something else. Then the father says, what did you break? I didn't do it. So he lies. And the father said, I saw you from the mirror, you did it. So now you lied, I am even punishing you more. So this is one thing. So the child knows, lying is not good. But then, after a few days, someone calls him to ask for some money. He says, son, tell him I'm not at home. So now tell me, is the child not confused here? On one hand, I am not supposed to lie. On the other hand, because of the selfish motive of my father, I have to lie. And I have to tell that person, go away, my father is not at home. Whereas he himself has taught me to lie. Is this the way Islam has taught us to upbring the children of the community? And then we start blaming the pulpits, the ulama, the teachers of the madrasa, that these people are the people not teaching us anything. These are the people who are not doing anything in the madrasas. Whereas the best madrasa begins at home. The best institution of educating a child begins at home. Not anywhere else. You cannot blame anybody for the misbehaving child. Environment plays a big role. Yes, it does. I don't deny that. But the way Ibrahim protected Ismail from being corrupt, why can't we do it? Why can't we derive the guidances from the Holy Quran and make our children the way we are supposed to bring our children up? But we find because of our selfish needs, our own selfish needs, we turn a blind eye. And we say, jare moto thai jase ne, pote sambhali jase. When they go old, they will learn themselves. That is not going to happen. That will not happen. The other issue is that if the father himself doesn't know, then how can he teach the child? And the worthiest cause that one can have is education. Ritual is one thing, and knowledge is another. I am praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because my father has told me to pray. I am coming to the mosque for dua kumail because my grandfather brings me by catching my hand to the mosque. But why am I coming? My father himself doesn't know. How is he going to tell me why am I coming to the mosque? How is he going to teach me what is the meaning of salah? What is the meaning of sawm? What is the meaning of ibadat? What is the meaning of rahmaniyat? What is the meaning of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he himself doesn't know it? How is he going to teach me? The Quran is there as a guide for the muttaqeen. In contrast, this is what happens now. There is a family which can take an example of Ibrahim and Ismail, and there is a family which can take an example of Nuh and his son. Take a contrast from the Holy Quran only. Whereas we find, before I go into Nuh, that the test, the ultimate test, takes place when Allah tells Ibrahim, now the time has come for you and me to give tests to each other. Our friendship is in its place. Your love for me is in its place. But now, Ibrahim tells his son, Ya Bunay, Inni ara fil manam anni adbahuk. O my son, I have seen a dream, and prophet's dream are normally true, that I am slaughtering you. Now take this and put it into today's life. Take a father and a son and tell them to talk like this. And the father will say, son, I have seen a dream that I am killing you, I am shooting you. So the son will say, you know what? There is a mental asylum around the corner there. Can I take you and drop you there? Yeah. Instead, and nowhere in the Holy Quran, neither in the history books, has it mentioned that Ismail even took a moment of reflecting of what his father was saying. In fact, immediately after he said, Ya Abati, if'al ma tu'mar. Satajiduni insha'Allah mina sabirin. O my father, do as you are commanded, you shall find me from those who are patient. Now you can see that between a father and a son, the father is asking the child to come to him so that he can sacrifice him, and the son responds by saying, O father, if this is what you have been commanded by the Lord, then I am ready. the human responsiveness to God was equal both sides. Between Ibrahim, between Ismail. And how did Ismail get that? Because of the teachings of Janabi Ibrahim. Because of the teachings and the close proximity that Ibrahim made sure he kept it with his child. And that is what we need to learn. Whereas if we take a contrast of Janabi Nuh and his son, we find that Janabi Nuh lived for 950, no, he lived for more, 2000 years probably. But he did tabligh for 950 years. Recite one salawat, please. He did tabligh for 950 years, mentioned in the Holy Quran. Yet he may have lived even for 10,000 years. I am not going to get into this. But I am for sure, one thing is for sure, and that's the Quran is saying, he did propagate for 950 years. Now in 950 years of his propagation, if he could not change his son, then what went wrong and why did it go wrong? We find that he is building a ship and the people around mock. Ya Nuh, what is happening to you? Are you turning old? You know, just continuing, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Now this is making you build a ship. They say, you just wait. Da'autuhum laylan wa nahara. Oh Allah, I have called them day and night for 950 years. They used to throw stones on me, so much so that I used to be buried under them. Ya Allah, send an adab on them. So Allah tells Nuh, build an ark. So he builds an ark. And he tells his son, son, embark on the ship. Come on the ship. The son says, no. Sa'awi ilal jabal ya'simuni. I shall climb on the mountains. It's going to save me from this water. Nuh says, no son, there is no save today. Come on the ship. And a very interesting, I'll deviate a little bit for 5 minutes only on this issue here. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Ibrahim, no, Nuh says to Allah, Inna ibni min ahli. This son is mine. He is from my household. So Allah says, Innahu laysa min ahlik. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. No, Nuh. He is not from your household because his actions are not straight. 2 minutes here. Just concentrate on what I'm saying. He didn't say he is not from your son. He didn't say that. He said he is not from your household. That means being from the Ahlul Bayt has got a much wider scope, much higher scope. Remember, if we are talking about Ma'sumin here only, then didn't the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, say, Salmanu minna ahl al-bayt? Did he not say that? Don't we have a riwayat of this? Was Salman Ma'sum? Was Salman someone that he came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like the son of Ibrahim? No. He was from Persia. He became a convert, not even a born Muslim. And he has got the status of being called from the people of Ahlul Bayt. That means Amalun Salih is the condition of getting into the Ahl. On top of that, when Hussein ibn Ali, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Husaynun minni, that Hussein is from me, that is limited more because Ahl is wider. Minni is limited to one. That means Imam Hussein's position is even greater than even a son. On top of that, another analogy. Allah doesn't like anybody to be called the son of the Prophet. As in the Holy Quran, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدْ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. That Muhammad is not a father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not a father of any of you or of your men. Walakinna Rasulallah. But he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, what are you saying? There was this boy, this person called Zayd, who is Ibn Rasulullah, as we all know. But then this relationship of being called a son and a father was broken when Zayd got divorced to his wife and the Prophet married his wife. A father cannot marry the daughter-in-law, can he? Therefore, Zayd was not a son. He was just brought up by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see? Now, when Allah says on one hand that He is not a father of anybody, on the other hand, in the ayat of Mubahila, He says, "Nad'u abna'ana wa abna'akum wa nisa'ana wa nisa'akum wa anfusana wa anfusakum." Then, Ya Allah, why didn't you say, call your grandsons instead of saying, call your sons? In one hand, you're saying, you're not a father of anybody. On the other hand, you're saying, come, bring our sons forth. What is this contradiction? Here we find the answer in the same ayah. When Allah says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدْ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Now there is a hadith of the Holy Prophet which says, أَنَا وَعَلِيٌ أَبَوَا هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. Me and Ali are the fathers of this nation. Here we find that the Prophet had two lives. One, the life of the prophethood, the prophetic life. The other is a personal life. As far as his prophetic life was concerned, yes, he is a father of me and you. But when it is his personal issue, then he is not a father of anybody save Hassan and Hussein salamullahi alayhi. And only they have the right of being called the son of the Prophet. Why? Because the Quran has called them the sons of the Prophet. Is there any doubt? Even the Sunnis and the Shias are unanimous in this, that when the ayat of Mubahila came, in the state of Abna, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein went with the Prophet. So, we come back. Janab Nuh tells his son, Ya Bunayya, come. The son says, no, Dad, I'm going to go to the mountains. The father says, you will not be saved today. He says, no, it's okay, I know I will be saved. And what happens? They all drown. The whole world is drowned, except Nuh and his ark. Now, Nuh, the Ma'soom prophet, did he do anything wrong in bringing the son? Although we don't find history, we don't find his biography in the Quran, but this we have found, that Nuh's son was much linked to the mother than to the father. Environment now, remember this. And a mother's role is equally important in upbringing the child. Equally important. When the father and the mother have arguments at home, and when the father says pray and the mother says no, let him do his homework, or vice versa, then there is a dichotomy already created in the mind of the son, of the child. Whereas we see that Janab Nuh was busy in the wider world of creating the atmosphere of La ilaha illallah. He couldn't be selfish in only upbringing his son. He had to tell the entire world, La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, and you will succeed. But his wife, Nuh's wife, was not a mu'mina, and we all know that. She was a woman who never believed in this, in the tabligh of Nuh. And this son of Nuh was brought up by the mother, influenced by the mother on not accepting the kalam of the father. And thus we see the result. Now, we have an example of Ibrahim and his son. We have the example of Nuh and his son. Which examples do we take? We don't say that Nuh failed in upbringing the child. And we don't say that Ibrahim succeeded in upbringing the child. No, the examples are there for me and you to derive guidance. Examples are there for me and you to follow. Instead of imitating others, we follow the Quran. We follow the Rasulullah. We follow the prophets of Islam. We follow the A'imma salamullahi alayhi majma'in. Now, if we argue that this family and these people were ma'sooms and that they were infallibles, then come along. Let us go to Karbala, where we find Janabi Hussein, Imam Hussein, and his son Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar was no ma'soom, by the way. He was a son of an imam, yes, but he was no ma'soom. When Hur stopped them on the road to Karbala, he asks his father, Ya Abati, Alasna ala al-haq? Are we not on the right path? The father says, yes, we are, son. He says, martyrdom to me is sweeter than honey, Imam Hussein says to his son. What do you say? Without reflecting, Ismail was a ma'soom at least. Without reflecting, Janabi Akbar says, it is sweeter to me as well, sweeter to me than honey as well. And you shall find me from those who are thankful that to get the martyrdom. Over there, Ismail said, min al-sabirin. Over here, Akbar says, min al-shakirin. From the thankful ones to get martyrdom. He was not a ma'soom, was he? How come that he also had so much faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like Imam Hussein had? Because the rearing up and the upbringing of Imam Hussein to his son was the one that Allah wants us to be. And we learn from these examples from the Holy Quran that Allah wants us, in order for us to reach the highest Islamic essence, to follow the examples of the Holy Quran and not to neglect our children, not to talk to them harshly, for they are flowers, their hearts are flowers, they are young, they cannot take anything. No? Sayyid Mahdi al-Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi, I was reading one of his books in which he mentioned that he went to one gathering somewhere. Before going to a gathering, he was wearing his clothes, cream robe, and the house in which he was staying, there was a little boy who had chocolate in his hands. He came and he touched that cloth. So the father beat the child, said, look what you've done, go away now, go and tell your mom to wash your hands. And he was so apologetic to the Sayyid. Sayyid, we are very sorry, you know, the child, these children are these. The Sayyid said, look, come sit down. Why did you hit your child? Why did you hit your child? He said, Sayyid, now we have to go in half an hour and look at your cloth, now we have to change, or we have to at least wash it with water. He said, look, my cloth is going to be washed by Persil and the washing machine, is it not? Who is going to clean and wash the heart of this child? Who is going to do it? When a child makes a mistake, make him realize that the mistake is made by love, not by harshness. And this is true, that if I want my child to follow the creed of Islam, then I have to follow it myself in order to teach it to my child. If I don't do it, then how can I expect my child to follow it? If I don't pray in the morning, how do I expect my child to pray in the morning? If I don't wear hijab, then how do I expect my daughter to wear hijab? How? Then the teachings are false. Then the Quran is no more a guide for us. It is just a book for us to read in the mayits. Then the Quran is no more a guide for us, but it is for us to wear as a ta'wil. And for us to keep it in the car in a disc. Huh? That, oh Allah, I am traveling, please, with this wasila of the Quran that I have hanged, save me. Don't want a tire, flat tire. I don't want a pile up in the motorway, and I don't want anything else to happen. That is what the Quran will remain as. Thus, it is said to us, Hudan lil muttaqin. Now we have to decide in amongst ourselves, are we going to take the teachings of the Holy Quran, or are we not? Are we Muslims or are we muttaqeen? For Muslims are those who submit to the will of Allah with their tongue, just like Abu Sufyan did. He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul, because he wanted to join the mainstream, because he was being left alone. So he said, yes, I agree that Allah is one and you are the messenger of Allah. But behind, he was a hypocrite. That shows us that he did not believe Quran the way Islam is supposed to be believed. And then there is a difference between Islam and Iman, is there not? Otherwise there would have been one name only, a Muslim and a Mu'min. There's a difference. And then there is a difference between a Muslim, a Mu'min and a Muttaqi. These are all different things. And why? one reaches the stage of Iman as one goes by. And it is not far, it is not late. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no problem, my slave. If you have made a mistake somewhere, come back to me, seek forgiveness, I shall forgive you. For He is the most merciful Allah that one can have, one can imagine. As I even said it in Hadith Qudsi, in Jum'ah today, that there is a Hadith Qudsi which I quoted. Ya ibn Adam, bayni wa baynaka thalath. Three things between me and you. Wahidun li, wa wahidun lak, wa wahidun bayni wa baynak. Recite one salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
I see people are starting to fall asleep, so I'll complete in about 5-10 minutes because when the sleep overtakes, then the concentration goes. Baini wa bainaka thalath, ya ibn Adam. One is mine, one is yours, the other is shared between me and you. Amma alladhi li faruhuk. That which is mine is your soul, your life. I gave you life, I will give you death. I gave you the power of sight, I gave you the power of smell, I gave you the power of touch. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي لَكْ فَعَمَلُكَ. That which is yours are your actions. Whether you do good, whether you do bad, whether you, whatever you do, it is going to be recorded and written that this is the action of the Mr. So-and-so. And if it is bad, you shall see. If it is good, you shall see. فَأَمَّا الَّذِي بَيْنَ وَبَيْنَكَ فَمِنْكَ الدُّعَاءُ وَمِنِّي الْإِسْتِجَابَةُ. That which is between me and you, O slave, is that you pray to me and I shall answer to you. That is Allah and His mercy. It is not late for us to return back to Him, and that is what is called Tawbah. The doors of Tawbah are open. If we have made a mistake in upbringing our children, if we have made a mistake of not following the Holy Quran the way it is supposed to be followed, then return back to Allah and say, yeah Allah, we will now try and follow the teachings of Quran and the Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhi Majma'in. Imam Hussein Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, when he reached this place, he asked the companions, which place is this? One of them said, this is called Taf. The other said, this is called Sahil al-Furat. And suddenly one of them said, this is Karbala. When Imam Hussein heard that this is Karbala, he got down from his horse, he dug the spear on the ground and he said, this is the land where my grandfather had told me I am going to be martyred. This is the land where I am going to be martyred. This is the land where my women will be captives. This is the land where my children will become orphans. This is the land, Karbala. Umm Kulthum comes to Imam Hussein and says, oh brother, I feel uneasy in this place. Why do I feel uneasy? Imam Hussein says, oh sister, when we were coming back from Siffin, my father was here with us and we rested at this very same place. When we rested here, Imam Ali fell asleep on the lap of my brother Hassan, and suddenly he woke up and he said, ya Hassan, I am seeing this ground full of blood. It is a pool of blood in which Hussein is drowning, my son. And he looked at Hussein and he said, Hussein, this is the land where you shall be martyred, your children shall be orphaned, and your women shall be captives. Ha, azizane girami, jab Karbala pahunche hain Hussein ibn Ali, to kisi se pucha ye zameen ka naam kya hai? Kisi ne kaha Taf hai, kisi ne kaha Sahil-e-Furat hai, to kisi ne kaha, imam, maula, isko Karbala kehte hain. مولا کا یہ سننا تھا کہ مولا وہیں پہ گھوڑے سے اتر گئے اور کہا یہی وہ زمین ہے جہاں پہ میرا خون بہے گا, ناحق خون بہے گا, یہی وہ زمین ہے جہاں پہ اصغر شہید ہوں گے, یہی وہ زمین ہے جہاں پہ اکبر شہید ہوں گے, یہی وہ زمین ہے جہاں پہ عباس کے شان قلم ہوں گے. امام جانتے تھے کہ ان کو دفن بھی نصیب نہ ہوگا. بنی اسد کے تھوڑے بچوں کو دیکھا کھیلتے ہوئے, ان کے پاس جا کے کہنے لگے بچوں جب ہماری لاشیں تم دیکھنا اور کسی کو دیکھنا جب ہم کو دفن نہیں کرتے تو کھیلتے کھیلتے آ کے مٹھی بھر دھول ہمارے جسم پہ ڈال دینا, ہمارے جسم پہ ڈال دینا. ام کلثوم نے کہا بھیا یہ جگہ وہ ہے جہاں پہ مجھے آرام نہیں ملتا, جہاں پہ مجھے خوف لگا رہتا ہے. امام نے کہا ہاں بہن یہی وہ زمین ہے جہاں پہ زینب کے شانے پہ رسیاں بندھیں گی, جہاں پہ بیبیاں بے نقاب ہوں گی, جہاں پہ بیبیوں کے سروں سے چادریں چھن جائیں گی. ماتم حسین